Morning.
Good morning.
How y'all?
Good.
Howdy. I said howdy a lot across the country, and people out west don't know what it means. They just stare at you. Good to be here this morning. Jason's under the weather a bit. He will be back in the office Tuesday, and luckily, I guess, his family didn't catch what all he had. And you're happy with that, aren't you? We will be collecting 10 cent a meal offering this morning during our worship service. Marked donations can be put in the offering plate during our offertory time or in the box on the communion table. Thank you. And as I don't see flowers.
They're supposed to be here. I don't know where they are.
Did you make them mad?
That's
oh. Anyway, they were donated by in honor of Lee and Margaret Johnson McGee, given in love by Elizabeth Bowling, her family, and Phyllis Monteith and her family. Our fellowship on the lawn today will be set up in the lobby of the Education Building. Every week after worship, while the weather is cold and rainy, that's where we'll be meeting, and it's going to be that way today again, looks like. We have had some rain, haven't we? I think we've had about 8 or 9 inches at the house. Twice we've had right at 5 inches. And it's just, ground is soaked. Anyway, if you can join us, please exit through the side door over here to my left so that you can go down the hallway to the lobby where cookies and drinks will be set up and you can enjoy some time together in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Says, please note, due to Pastor Jason's absence this morning, the call congregational meeting that was scheduled for today will be next Sunday, January 28th. It has been, well, it was for today. It will be next Sunday, February the 4th, excuse me, at the end of worship. And we will elect an elder for the class of 2026 and elect members of the 2024 nominating ministry. Also, our 2024 budget and 2023 mission giving will be available in the narthex for you to pick up for your information. Cooks will host a prayer vigil. This vigil that's for anyone that would like to come to say a silent prayer for anybody or any needs that you may know of. It'll be next Saturday, February 3rd. From 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. in our sanctuary in here. Please be sure to join us and tell your friends and neighbors about it. It's always a good time to get together and be able to pray with people that are like us in Christ, that love Christ, and pray together. It's Jesus said, where two or more gathered in my name, he would be there also. Prayers together are strong, aren't they? Of course, God hears every prayer, but it's good to be able to pray together with people. You know, as God does, he hears every prayer that's sent up to him. You don't have to say it out loud. You can just think it. He hears it right now. We hope you're collecting non-perishable food items for Cook Scout Troop 51 Scouting for Food Drive next Sunday, February 4th. Please bring your donations to worship next week, and they'll take him to Lowe's and Fish's to help feed the people there. Next Sunday will also be Scout Sunday, and they will help in leading our worship service, and we look forward to welcoming them and to their families, Cooks. Scout's a great thing, isn't it? They bring young men together and bring them together in Christ. That's okay. Now let's begin our worship service with our call to worship.
Anyway,
thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. In God's boundless mercy, we gather to worship.
His grace renews us, forgiving us our
sins. Like Joseph, who forgave his brothers, we embrace God's call to forgive.
In forgiving others, we reflect God's unconditional love.
Together in God's presence, we celebrate the power of grace.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, creator of the heavens and the earth, we gather in your majestic presence, awed by your boundless grace and enduring mercy. Your glory, O God, shines brighter than the sun and spans the vast expanse of the universe. In your infinite love, you offer forgiveness that knows no bounds, a testament to your immeasurable compassion. As we stand before you humbled and grateful, we seek to emulate your forgiveness in our lives. Teach us, O Father, to forgive as freely as you have forgiven us, to extend grace as generously as you have graced us. May our worship today be a reflection of your glory, a celebration of the transformative power of your love and mercy. In your holy and mighty name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you can, stand and sing Fairest Lord Jesus, hymn number 58. It'll be up here on the screen, I think. Go around and tell everybody hello and how good it is to see each other.
Life that you do.
said it more, I can do it. I can hear you more. Hey, how are you? How's your week?
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God who has faith and faithful, God who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today let's read this together in the bulletin. Merciful and gracious God, in your presence we come with hearts weighed down by our... We confess that too often we hold on to grudges, nurse our hurts, and fail to extend the forgiveness you so freely give us. In our words, thoughts, and actions, we have acknowledged our shortcomings and the times we have not followed your example of unconditional love and forgiveness. Forgive us for the times we have allowed bitterness to take root in our hearts, and for the moments we have withheld grace from those who sought it from us. Create in us cleansed hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit with us. Help us to let go of our resentments, to embrace your way of love and forgiveness, and to walk in your light of your grace. We ask for your strength to forgive others as you have forgiven us, that we may live as true reflections of your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we have been eternally claimed by an eternal and loving God. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel and Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Now let's proclaim together what we all believe as written in the bulletin, the affirmation of our faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Now, would all the children come forward, and Melissa will give us a lesson. Go ride a tractor, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. How are we today? Everybody good? Quiet crowd. Who can tell me what the word joy means? Happy. Okay, so the dictionary tells us that the definition of joy is a feeling of true pleasure or happiness. So joy and happiness seem like they're a lot alike, and they are, but there's also some differences between the two. Joy is an inner feeling. Happiness is an outward feeling of expression, okay? Joy is in our heart. Happiness is on our face. Tell me some things that make you happy. Anything?
Video games?
Fine. What else? Maybe getting a good grade? Meeting a new friend? Being with people you love, right? So happiness is something that we sometimes have and we sometimes don't have it. It's a temporary emotion, right? We can't always be happy, unfortunately. So we can always, though, have joy in our heart. So happiness goes along with other emotions. What are other emotions that we sometimes feel? Yep, sadness, anger, jealousy. All those things come and go in our life. But joy always lives in our heart. And it brings us peace, and it brings us contentment, and it helps us deal with all those other emotions that we have going on all the time that come and go. So ways that you can work to have joy in your life are to obey God, we trust in God, do the right thing, be honest, be a good human, and you'll have that gift of joy in your heart always. Okay? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the gift of joy.
Thank you for the gift of joy.
Help us carry it forward.
Help us carry it forward.
To others. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Melissa. That's my sermon. Y'all can go home now. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe us, breathe into us that we may hear a word of truth this day. Draw us into communion, enable us to love, conspire to make us one with you for the world you so deeply love. Amen. Old Testament reading today comes from Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And New Testament reading, it may seem odd to have this today, but usually read this at Christmas. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Today we're going to talk about happiness and joy. Thank you, ma'am. You did a great job. Joy is mentioned in the Bible, in the King James Version, 187 times. Happy, 25 times. Happiness, none. So what is the difference? You talked about that. As happiness, joy is a state or condition. It's constant, it's internal, and it comes from God. Happiness is an emotion. It's temporary. It comes from external. It comes from the things we see around us. I was just sitting and thinking, as I saw the young man back there that loves to do the hayride. I come up here at least one time a year, try to, and do a hayride for the kids, and I have a large time doing it. They enjoy it, and it makes me happy. It makes me happy to get to do the hayride, but it's joy that causes me to do it. It's the love I have for God and for kids that causes me to do this. So there's what I want to look at somewhat today is, what is the difference between happiness and joy, and where does it come from? Like I said, happiness is just a temporary thing and comes to us from external, from worldly things, from the things we see and do. And it's joy comes from, true joy comes from God. We can be happy. Now, let me start out by saying, I don't want you to think that you can't be happy and have joy. They go together if your happiness comes from the right place. If your happiness comes from God, you got joy, and your joy brings on the happiness. We can have joy and not be happy. When we lose a loved one, that's not going to bring us happiness, but we can have joy as Christians in knowing that that loved one has gone on to be with Jesus and has lost the bonds, has given up the bonds of this earth. The no more pain, no more sickness, illness, no more tears. So we can have joy in that, but we're not happy about it. Our loved one has given up that sick body. Happiness is brought on by what's going on around us. And like I said, we can have joy even when things are falling apart around us. When Pauline was in the hospital, I spent 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for 60-some days in the hospital with her. Every morning at 7 o'clock I was going in, and 7 o'clock in the evening I had to leave. One morning I was walking in, and a nurse stopped me and asked me, "Why are you so happy all the time?" I said, "God." And she looked at me and said, "Good answer." We went on our way. That evening leaving, I heard somebody say, "Thank you." Well, I went back to see who's thanking me, and it was this same nurse. And I said, "Why are you thanking me?" And she said, "You reminded me of where true happiness comes from." Well, it wasn't happiness that she saw in me, because I wasn't happy about the situation, but I did have joy. And I told Pauline after about 2 or 3 weeks there, I said, you know, this is not a great situation that we're going through, but we can show the people around us, the people that we come in contact with, that we love God no matter what. No, we weren't happy with our situation, but we always had God, and we had God in our heart. And that's what joy is having God in your heart. And so you can have that through the worst situations there is. And it's what makes us happy. Where do we find our happiness? We have happiness in the knowledge that God is with us all the time, no matter what's going on in our life or what we're going through. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So, even in illness, we can have joy. That makes us well. As we read earlier, Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What's at God's right hand? What's at God's right hand today? Where is Jesus? Jesus is at God's right hand. That's where our happiness comes from. That's what joy is Jesus. When the angel was telling the shepherds about the birth of Jesus, he in Luke 2:10, as we read, I bring you good news and great joy, good news of great joy. He's talking about Jesus. He's not just talking about the birth. He's talking about the joy that Jesus is going to bring to us, is going to bring to the earth. You know, in the Bible, we read about God loving the world, but he also says don't cling to the world. Now, when God says he loves the world, what's he talking about? Us. Not the dirt, not the trees and all that. He's talking about us. We are God's world that he's talking about. He loves us. That's the joy that the angels were talking about that's coming to the world, to us. God sent Jesus to teach us a way of life and to bring us salvation. That's what joy is, isn't it? Knowing where we're going when we die. And it's, for whatever reason, I was thinking this morning about the Pharaoh, and I don't remember which plague it was, which number, but it's the plague of darkness. They can't see anything. They can't see that. Nothing but dark. But they look out in Goshen. They look out in Goshen. The Pharaoh says, why do they have light? They had light over there. Why don't we have it? What was their light? God. Joy. Joy was their light over there. That's why it was so good. That's why it was bright. Joy, God, and Jesus brings us light. What is dark? The Pharaoh and all his people were surrounded by Satan, weren't they? Satan was there with them. That's darkness. We've got light. We've got Jesus. We just heard it. God's right hand are pleasures, and this is Jesus. Jesus is at God's right hand. And it's, I think a lot of times, I'll jump around this morning, if y'all don't mind. John and James arguing about who's going to be at Jesus' right hand and who's going to be at Jesus' left hand. Who's at Jesus' left hand? God. So one of them was trying to take God's place, wasn't he? He didn't know it, but he was. We've got to think about what we're doing. Do you think Job was happy? You know, all these people that came before us, they weren't always happy. Job was not happy. Even his wife in Job 2:9 said, curse God and die. He's gone through everything you could think of, probably. He probably thought that there was nothing else could happen to him that would bring pain or unhappiness, but he still believed in God. He still loved God. He still had joy. And it showed he kept his faith in God. He stayed true to God. And it came back to him. His riches came back to him on earth. That won't always happen to us, but we do have riches coming to us. It's when we pass. You know, our riches start to, we don't have to wait till we die. We can have our riches right now. We can have our joy right now. All we've got to do is believe in God and Jesus Christ, and we have our joy with us right now. That's a good thing. Job's joy shines today, and it did shine. It showed, God showed that you keep your faith in Him, and He delivers us from all these pains. Galatians 5:22, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith." In his letter to Corinth, Paul says, "I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation." Now, that doesn't seem right that he's going to be happy in tribulation, but we've got to be happy all the time. I read of a lady some years back that had a debilitating illness. I don't know if it was cancer or what, and somebody was talking to her about it, and she said, "I am so happy that God believed in me enough to let me be sick like this, to show the world that I still believe in Him, even though I'm sick." How can you be happy at this time? She had the joy of God. Writing from prison to the Philippians, "Yea, and if I be offered from sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy," or have joy, "and rejoice with you all." Even when he suffered, he still had joy and believed in God. Though Paul in prison, what does he do? He preaches to the guards. He's got a captive audience. They can't run away from him like he could when he's out of prison. He keeps on preaching. He's happy. He's not just happy, he is joyful. Yeah, he's not happy he's in prison, but he's happy that he has the Word of God that he can spread. Hebrews 10:34, "For ye had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully to the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." Yes, you may lose what you have today, but that's okay. We're not happy about it today, but we still have joy. You know, I was thinking this morning, where are we going to find our joy and our happiness? Kay and I just got back from a 58-day trip, 10,933 miles and 22 or 23 states. We traveled dirt roads and back roads, and sometimes you can see, looks like thousands of people on the interstate flying by. And we're on some dirt road, and in just a 2-mile span on that dirt road, we saw 3 deer cross in front of us. We're going about 15 miles an hour. In just a little bit, we round another turn, and here's a bald eagle in the road eating roadkill. And then, well, a hawk, wasn't it? Flew down, just looked like it was going to come in the windshield. They missed it. All those people out there missed it because they're trying to get somewhere. Where are you going? What are you going to do? Are they happy? Do they have joy? They didn't see what we saw. We want people to see what we see. You know, the ones that came before us, as I said earlier, they brought us a message. They stood through faith in God, withheld through all the tribulation they went through to bring us this message. They weren't happy with their situation. They weren't happy to be crucified or whatever. I think the only one that found happiness was Stephen. He was being stoned, and he saw Jesus at that moment, waiting on him. That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? We've got that coming. They weren't happy with their circumstances, but they were happy in being able to spread the word. Their happiness came from God. I believe that Eve, when she took that first bite of the apple, she was happy just before her teeth entered that skin. I bet that was bitter. She lost her happiness because she realized that what's the first bit of knowledge? She's biting into the knowledge of good and evil. She just found evil. She just found out that she had sinned and she has lost her joy because she lost her closeness with God. She can get it back, but she had lost it. Satan sold her a bill of goods. He lied to her, and she believed it. He's still doing that. He's still lying to us. He's out there trying to sell us a bill of goods, and if we listen to him, he's happy. We can make Satan happy. We won't bring him joy, but we can make him happy by succumbing to what he has to say to us. If we try to find our happiness through worldly ways, we may lose our joy. Joy is out there for us. I'd like to read something to you that I read the other day. I ran across it in preparing for today. I'd read it a while back. Remember Paul Harvey? Some of the young ones don't even know who it is. Who's that? He's not a rock star. Paul Harvey wrote this in 1965. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate, four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, us. He wants us. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. That's a term we don't use very often today, isn't it? And the old I would teach to pray after our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could to sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, and teach until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and defy science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who won't until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet I would get the whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich? I would caution against extremes in hard work and patriotism in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus, I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases, and from there, of which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what I'm doing. Paul Harvey says, good day. Look around. If you don't believe that's happened, watch TV. It's out there. What he just said, what I just read, he said in 1965, and how many years later, 58 years later, is true today. We see of violence, of drug addiction. Do guns cause people to kill, die? Do guns kill people? Do guns kill people? People kill people. The drugs cause addiction? No. Where do we get our joy? These poor people that are going out, and I say poor people, the people that are going out and killing other people, we have lost. We didn't get the word to them. They don't have joy in their life, and we missed it. We stop this stuff. We don't stop it by taking guns away from them. We stop it by making them understand that God loves us and loves them and get them not to want to do these things. Every day, Kay and I pray for the Church of Christ and for our spiritual leaders that they lead us by the Word of God and not some fabrication. Watch preachers, listen to other preachers, and see what they are preaching. Are they preaching the Word of God, or are they just kind of skim around the Bible? Our Word is here in the Bible. It tells us, the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. I've told you all that several times. The Word is in there for us. All we have to do is look to it. It's there. It is my hope that you will join with me praying daily for revival in our lives, our churches, our communities, and our nations. We must decide to be different. We must be Christ focused. What offends him should offend us. What breaks his heart should break ours. What he loves, we should love. The world desperately needs Jesus, and we know he has the answer. He is the answer to the challenges of our families, our nation, and our world. May God send his Holy Spirit to revive each of us so that we will be effective instruments for him in this world, our temporary home. Jesus commands each of us to go. Go in his name and the power of the Holy Spirit and change our world. So we must go, and go quickly. The clock of eternity is ticking, and the midnight hour is rapidly approaching. Jesus, our King and Lord, is preparing to return. We must make ourselves ready and go. Make disciples in this world where we are living. God is good all the time. Amen. Let us pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We trust that you not only hear our prayers, but you indeed respond to them as well in humility and faith. We lift up our prayers and intercession and supplication. We pray for all those people who have been afflicted by severe illnesses. We pray for the individuals who are fighting this disease presently, as well as for their families. We pray for families who've lost loved ones. We pray for this world broken by sin. We pray for our country, praying that your Holy Spirit would allow us to find common ground and continue to be a beacon of hope in the world. We pray for all communities torn apart by acts of unnecessary violence. Heal this world through the healing of our hearts, which begins with our repentance and continues through the daily pouring out of our lives and the pursuit of assistance. We pray for those in Cook's, on the Cook's prayer list, Lyle Pace, Jill Griffin, Tom McClure, and all the many others that are in need of intercessory prayer. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of Jesus Christ. It was he who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now it's time for us to give back to God what he's given to us. And I tell people all the time, we're not giving him 10%, he's giving us 90%. God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you, but we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and in your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Know that you have an eternal life in Jesus Christ. Fear not the things of this world and help others share the gospel. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you. Amen. I thank y'all for having me today.